One, two.
It's Thursday, June 15th. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Gavaldic Guy Show. Today we will have a very special show. We are going to be talking with Jeff Osias from the New Jewish Makeup Call and discussing secular studies in the yeshivas. And we will have a special yeshiva charade segment with a yeshivish version of the Gettysburg Address. So without further ado, here is Jeff Osias.
Jeff,
yes.
What is the purpose of secular studies, in your opinion, in a yeshiva elementary school?
Well, one of the reasons the boys get what we call secular education. I hate using that word, secular education, because it puts a divide in between Torah learning and Goyish learning, so to speak. And the real world from the enclosed world, and making a difference between a from Jew and one who goes out and is worldly. And I think there's a problem with that, because one of the things that I've noticed is that there are some boys who will stay within the Haredi box, so to speak, and they won't have to intermingle with the real world, so you know, out there. And yet there are other boys that are going to have to go out and work for a living, and they have to start being prepared at an early age, because if they don't, they're going to get into a age where they are going to go into higher education, into what we call the secular world, and not be prepared. I don't see why we shouldn't have a secular education.
Okay, let me see if I understand you correctly. What you're saying, Jeff, is that the reason why we need to have a secular education in a yeshiva curriculum is in order to prepare the boys for be able to make a livelihood. Once they leave the yeshiva world, they have to get a job, and therefore they need to be able to study all this stuff.
Because I've seen too many cases where a boy stays in the strict yeshiva setting, who goes from cheder to yeshiva, and then goes to higher learning, and then goes into koil, and he's not equipped. He has no way of going out and getting a living, and other than going on welfare or some other way. If they happen to come from a wealthy family, they're okay, because the family will support them. But if they don't have those options and don't have welfare roles, where else could they go?
Okay. We're not discussing about whether or not there should be a secular education, and I think we both agree on it. But I've spoken to a number of parents, and I got the impression there's about four different opinions about why. Okay? One was, like you mentioned, in order to be able to get a job.
Right.
Okay? You're not going to walk in and speak Yiddish or whatever it is, and without any high school diploma, and no idea of how to string a sentence together, and no idea of how to divide large numbers by each other, and get yourself, and if you don't know how to even like fill out an application for a position, you're really going to be in trouble.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's that view.
Okay.
There's another view that, forget about the job. I want my kid to be normal.
What does that mean?
Well, these parents want their kids to be able to understand the world and understand where the world's coming from, so that if somebody talks about George Washington, they know what the person's referring to. I mean, they don't want their kids to be like some immigrant that's coming from some other country who walks into the United States and is totally unfamiliar with American history and American culture and American anything. They want their kid to be American, which they call normal.
Okay.
That's another reason.
All right.
The third reason that I've been told why boys need to get a secular education is because if they want to communicate with anybody, forget about a job. They're wealthy as could be, but they want to be able to communicate to other people outside of the Haredi community, they're not going to have education.
Okay, so you've so far told me every reason why we should have it.
No, I have no. The question, again, our question today is not whether we should or we shouldn't.
Okay.
We're both on the side that
right.
We should.
Okay.
The question is, what's the nature of that education supposed to be? See, I'm not arguing that we shouldn't, and you're arguing that we should. The question is, no. the nature of this education is, and really the reason why you're getting educated is going to change the nature of your education. There's a fourth, you're going to see, okay?
Okay, I'm waiting.
Okay, and there's a fourth reason, because my experience is that I know somebody who wasn't very well educated, and just like every uneducated person, then they don't really understand the idea of like scientific principles, and to them, if you've got somebody who believes that there is some voodoo out there that causes people to get sick, and if you take my pill, you'll get better. Well, what's the difference between that and a doctor? I mean, they don't really get appreciate science, so they don't appreciate what a doctor is. They think they come up with a new solution. Nothing has worked until now. And they don't realize, you know, there's a whole history behind us of what we've tried, what hasn't worked. And you're saying, this is brand new. It was tried 60 years ago, and this is a situation. And it didn't work then, so don't bother trying it now. So if you don't have any history, you don't have any science, if you don't have any English, you can't research things, you can't look things up. So you get this very lot of chachma and very intelligent person who really does not really understand how the world goes along. They become very naive because they're around maybe Haredi people, and they get their cheated, because how could somebody, it's against the Torah, how could somebody ever, God forbid, cheat me? They believe everything that they're sold, they don't know, and this is
and
part of...
And another part of it where they feel superior to others that don't come
that's
from
right.
their
And they
their
have a
box.
Warped idea of the view of the world. They have no idea, like, that, you know, most of the world are not Jewish, and most of Jews are not Haredim, and, you know, hey, get an education, you know, there's a whole world out there. And they have no idea. So... this is, even if, so there's basically come up with four or five different reasons, I lost track already, of why we need a secular education.
Okay.
So the question is, really, is, so your opinion is that you need a, you came with just one idea. We need a secular education because we don't want to have to, these boys should not have to depend on mommy and daddy to be able to support them, or on welfare to support them, which is a big chilul Hashem when you have somebody who's so educated and so healthy, and he's going around and he's begging for money. That's, you know, if the guy's sick is one thing, but he should be able to have the skills and the tools to be able to get a job.
But I think what I really look at is, and one of the problems is not to change people's minds, but to give a broader look of what's going on. There are boys, we do give them a secular education. They're not going to pay attention because they feel it's not necessary. I'm in a Haredi community. This is only here because the school gets funding, because if they don't do the secular education, they can't get the funding from the states, from the federal government.
Oh, that's another reason why we need to have, people think you need to have secular studies in a Haredi school. Because if you don't, you can't be a school, and the kids are all truants.
Okay, so there again.
So therefore, we have to do it for government requirements.
Okay.
So that brings us to another question.
Okay.
Is there an intrinsic value to a secular education? In other words, we all understand that intrinsically, when you open up a piece of Gemara, you learn a Chumash, you're giving Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're helping the world in a million and one different ways. Whatever it is, you're getting a mitzvah, you're getting olam haba, and intrinsically, even if you're learning something that has no practical halachic value, it still is Torah, and therefore it's valuable. What about English? Is there any intrinsic value in learning verb structure, and learning how to add? Or is it, oh, this is only something that's good because it'll bring us to another step?
All right, this is a, I just ran into this type of thing recently. Is it necessary to know, is this a verb, is this, what? how do we diagram a sentence? I never did get that when I was in school. That was terrible for me, it was hard. And I wasn't really the best student with that. However, one of the things that we strive for is, and it's true, we are very intelligent people. And the problem is that we have to be that way in everything. I'm sorry to say that we have people going to community college who are not Jewish, who go into college, and they're going in to math on about a fifth grade level. Do we want our kids, when they come out of to be, say 19 years old, 17 years old? Do we want them to be at that kind of a level? Or do we want them to be at an age where they can go into a college and actually just walk in the door, take an entrance exam, and say, here we are, give us the education without giving us this background of what we should have learned in fifth grade? See, there's a balance here. And I was taught when I was a kid that the Jewish kids are always smarter than the rest of the world. And, you know, for some reason, it's not that way anymore because we don't have, you know, there's not a concentration. I think that we have to strike a balance here. And I think if we're going to do secular education, it better be a good secular education, not this giving kids in seventh grade what they should have had in third grade. Because, you know what's happening? A lot of times, our education, and I got to tell you, on both sides, whether it's the Torah education or the secular education, is not challenging for our children. Our children have to be super challenged. They have always been that way, and if you don't give them that kind of stuff, you're going to bore them to death. So if you're going to give it to them on a high level, give it to them on a best kind of level, and okay, if there's some students that can't quite get it that way, give them tutoring. But go for the higher student. Don't go for the lower student. That's where my thing is coming in. We're not giving the kids enough.
Well, that's a whole different discussion about, you know, education in general, whether you're trying to make sure that everybody understands, whether you're trying to go for the median, or whether you're trying to reach the higher students, and then the average student is lost. The questions I have here and is based on my experience when I was a teacher. When I taught secular studies for about 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. depending on how you count it. And my experience was that when students wrote well, they wrote essays, they got prizes for it. Mm-hmm. They were on honor roll, they got prizes for it. And they were recognized for their achievement in secular studies. My children are not getting honored. There is no secular studies honor roll where they go to school. And there is no reward. I mean, I remember when I was teaching there, they got pens with their names on them mm-hmm. if they were on honor roll.
I think in a way we're saying the same thing. I think we're saying that, number one, it's necessary. Number two, it has to be challenging. And number three, there should be rewards for it.
That's right.
And as there are, I think, and they give trips, they give candies, they give things like that for kids into the
Mori Kodesh. That's right.
Right. And I think that one is just as important as the other. And I tell you, I've seen where you have, we have what, the Bar Tarbom, is that what we call it? And those are for exceptional students. And the student that goes into that goes into it with a fervor and a burning to learn Torah mm-hmm. that is way above what you would call normal.
Okay.
And if you put that kid into a regular setting, he's going to be bored. And I think that there has to be a balance on both sides. And I think that we want a nice rounded student to come out, to be able to be functional, to be Jewish, to be from, and to be part of the world and take on and say, hey, here we are, and we're going to do it. I think it's a team effort.
I don't think see, let me tell you what the problem. I agree with what you're saying, but the point that I landed up analyzing that I was having problems with is if you reward English, if the mm-hmm. school rewards English studies or secular studies,
yeah.
but really English, because it's really, and I'll tell you why English. English requires a lot of time on the student, not on school property. I'm talking about composition.
Oh, okay.
English composition. If you want a student to produce a nice book report, we're talking elementary school.
Yeah.
You want a student to write a good essay.
Right.
You want him to write a beautiful composition, mm-hmm. right? The only way to really do that is to spend hours and hours on his own. So this is one of the issues, because the kids really get confused. We have to create an environment, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you don't agree with this statement, but as far as I'm concerned, Torah is the ikar. Torah is the main thing. Mm-hmm. And secular studies is a stepchild. But it's important. But it's not as important as Torah study. Do you disagree with that?
I think we're talking apples and oranges here because, yes, Torah studies, Derech Eretz, everything. You know what? And there's nothing that doesn't come from the Torah, if you look at it that way. I think that in order to become part of the world and to look at the world in a broader scope, you have to start someplace. In this country, it's English. If you were in another country, it'd be a different language. But I think that one of the things we fall down on is even our background, even for Holocaust studies and things like that. That all comes under whatever you want to call it. It doesn't come under Torah learning. Are you going to call that secular education? Or are you going to just call that history? Or are you going to talk about our history? And in order to know our history and to be able to understand our history, you have to be able to pick up something and understand it. And if you're going to write an essay on something of our own history, you have to have the structure to do that. So how are you going to learn that if you don't have secular studies and take that extra time to write something out? And I think there's a balance here. And is it more important to learn Torah? Of course it is. That's the basis. The basis is the Torah. And if that's the focal point, and then being a good person and connected to Hashem, after that, everything is secondary. No matter what is math, everything is secondary. But yet, if you realize that to build a base of Mikdash, you needed math. In order to make it work, you needed angles.
Of course.
So, where do you make a line?
So, what you're telling me, let me tell you the problem that exists. Okay, I'm here with problems. You're the man with all the answers, okay?
I'm the Jewish wake-up call.
Yeah. And everybody should listen to the Jewish Wake Up Call. It's located at jewishwakeupcall@podomatic.com. And there are already 10 shows up by now. Let me tell you one of the problems. It seems to me that we both agree that the nature of the secular education that goes on in yeshiva is going to be different than the nature of secular education that goes on in public school. Because in a public school, they're learning about their culture. And in yeshiva, we're not learning. We want to learn about our culture. And when we talk about history, history is their culture. But when we get the books, we don't have our own history books in elementary school. So it talks about George Washington, the president of our country. Mm-hmm. And this is the kids have a hard time relating to it because what is our country? What is our heritage? Are we Americans? Are we Jews? And like, I think if you really look at the teachers' manuals to these books, part of the purposes of the social studies books is to take these 60, 70 different cultures that you'll have in the public school and put them into the melting pot of America. Mm-hmm. And again, depending on why you want your kid learning secular studies, you may or may not want your kid to be a bean in the cholent. You may want him to be standing outside of the pot and say, okay, that's America, they have their cholent and their headaches, and I'm over here and I'm Jewish and I have my own Haredi culture.
But I think that I think where we draw the line and where we're looking at it from two different sides is, I'm looking at it in order to be better than or have our own, you have to know who they are.
Right, but how it's presented is very different because you could say, this and this general was a great person because he had he fought mighty battles and because he had somebody be made this legislation and he was a wonderful person. And depending on who you're talking about, that person could be a terrible person. You know, especially if you start going back to the time of the Roman Empire and you start talking about great Roman emperors, mm-hmm. these people were disgusting.
I understand it, but doesn't Perkiovas tell us don't trust a politician?
I understand
that. Where are you going to learn if you don't put them together?
Okay, but so there's a whole presentation that, on the other hand, here I'm presenting you this is important facts to know, but built into the history books is all this editorial.
Well, this is the problem, that we do not set up enough time from our own teachers and the people who's put things together. If we would have our an editing staff, a writing staff, producing books about history so that it would be palatable for our children, then we would be able to start something that, and I think it's coming.
And I know in high school they started, most of us in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, put out their English literature, American literature books that are palatable to us, science books that are palatable to us, and that's where they're starting. But eventually I hope they're going to move on to other things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I see that we're in agreement about. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I'd like to convince you on
is...
I feel that we really need to think through what should be the nature of the secular study program. In other words, what we're doing basically is we're saying, okay, in the public schools, they study science, math, social studies, and English. Okay, so we'll also study science, math, social studies, and English. And, well, obviously, math is the most important thing to do, so we're going to spend the most time in math, and English is just way too time-consuming, so we'll get to some mediocre level, mediocre level of English, and history is like, you know, well, we'll just go quickly through history, because nobody really knows history anyway, and science, they'll learn science in high school. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's basically what has happened to the secular studies department. But nobody really sits down and thinks, now one second, what is my goal with the secular studies department? If my goal is that these kids should be able to get a job, then, in other words, we want to get to practical skills, maybe we should teach these kids how to write a check, how to balance a checkbook. Maybe we should teach these kids how to read a contract, how to read fine print.
Well, maybe we should have technical institutions within our own realm.
Right, but I'm saying even in the... In an elementary school, we should really rewrite the book for our purposes. I'd like to know how many teachers bring in a box of cereal and discuss the ingredients on a box of cereal.
And how many bring in a flashlight and show how electronics works.
Electricity works, right. I don't know. Okay? It just seems to me that there are some like very basic skills. I don't know how many kids don't know how to read an analog clock.
But I would say a lot.
But I have this feeling that there's quite a few, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. I know that they try very much to give some sort of a computer class, because they feel that computers are very important. Maybe it is. We wouldn't be able to do this without a computer, but I don't think
this,
that they get... I think there's some really basic stuff that's not really being addressed in the school, and I don't think the thought of how can I make a curriculum that will... have my kid be able to get a better job. Let me explain that. What you have to understand is the way you've substituted in English.
Yes.
And have you seen the teacher's manuals?
Yeah.
Okay. The goals of Houghton Mifflin or these different companies that produce these,
right.
Their goals are very different than our goals when it comes to education. Mm-hmm. And they don't teach their kids Gemara and Chumash and stuff. So therefore, they need to teach kids how to think from English. Okay? Mm-hmm. Our goal is not really to teach them how to think, because they have plenty of time. They spend 3 hours in the morning. They know how to think. Mm-hmm. They know how to argue. They know how to analyze. That is not their goal.
Right.
I think our goal needs to be more how to communicate and also how to be aware of things outside of a book.
Well, one of the things I ran into was when I was trying to teach something. It actually was math.
Okay.
And one of the boys said I was talking to, he was kind of acting out a little bit. And I said, "Do you realize how important this is?" And I was talking about how you would relate to different subjects. He says, "I don't have to worry about this." I said, "He said, I'm taking over my father's business." And I thought, well, that's very nice. And I said, "Well, what if a problem comes up and you have to take care of, just say the government says that we're only going to pay for a certain part of your business now, something that you had relied on?" And now you have to go into percentages now, and you have to figure out how much food you have to pay for versus what the government was subsidizing and things like that. You know what his answer was? I got a secretary to do that. I said, well, wait a minute. How do you know you can trust the secretary? He looked at me and said, you know, you're right. That was analysis. That, to me, is more important than the actual one and one is two.
What was analysis?
The analysis of him being able to think, wait a minute, you know what? There might be a purpose for me learning more than I know. There might be a time when I have to take charge. And I think that's the kind of thinking we have to show of how important it is to have knowledge. Like, we're working with a computer here. We couldn't get this on the air if you didn't have a grasp of how to get this thing working. There's probably more that we could do with it, and we could learn more about it. But for the moment, to know just the basics, to get so you're not depending on somebody else that you don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. The emis. There has to be an emis in everything. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The point seems to me that there needs to be a lot of thought about the secular studies curriculum that's not being done, as far as the planning of it. What we need to get to the kids, and also realizing, okay, ideally, we'd like to do a million and one things. Practically, maybe we can't do that. Okay, but at least let's think, ideally, how much time is spent thinking about what we ideally want? And how do we, if we've got five different reasons why the kids should be studying secular studies, how do we have something that can encompass all those five things? The kids need to know secular studies for many, many reasons.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to get more business? You can with a professional website designed by A Web for You. They will make a custom website designed especially for your business. Specializing in e-commerce, they will take your business to the next level. They design websites in Hebrew too. With professional programming and gorgeous graphic design, you will have a website that your customers will flock to. So call 215-825-5722 or visit them at www.awebforyou.com. That's 215-825-5722 or awebforyou.com. So welcome back to the Gewaltig Guy Show, and depending on where you're listening to this, my guest today is Jeff Jacobcall. This is Yisrael Eichmann from the Gewaltig Guy Show, and we're collaborating today on discussing secular studies in the yeshiva. We're not discussing whether or not we need secular studies in yeshiva, because we're all in agreement on that. We're discussing about it. How could it be improved? What can we do to make it as best as it could be for the students that they're catering to?
And I think one of the things that we have to do is we have to get the kids more, the children, the young men, more involved with the actual subject. Like if you're going to do something about, we were talking before about writing an essay, it has to be something that they actually get involved with. There's a chayshik for wanting to do it, a reason for wanting to do it, whether at the end be a reward or just in the case of where they understand what they're doing. In math, show why is this math important? How does it work in the long run? How would it be, what would it be like without it? There's a million things. Science, you don't look at just equations, you look at how things work. How does an airplane fly? And show experimentation. How does electricity work? Show through experimentation. I don't ever see a lab or anything like that in it. And I think that the children are missing things, and I think that's why they're not as interested in it as we would like them to.
In the younger grades, they actually do hatch butter.
That's lovely.
See what really lands up happening is there's always this balance between we want them to be learning 24 hours a day. Or, you know, like all their free time, we want them to be busy learning. On the other hand, we want them to get a good English education, mm-hmm. and it's a real balancing act.
Yes.
You know, does that mean, I remember being a teacher, what do you mean I have a chavrus at night? I don't have time to write an essay. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for this book report. But we're laying a foundation over here that if they... One of the questions that I threw at you before was, is there anything intrinsic to English? And what we really have to realize, the students have to know and the kids have to know, that there are certain things that are intrinsically important about studying what we are calling secular studies. They need to be able to, because they have to be able to work, because they have to function as a person. And when you learn how to write first paragraph, an opening paragraph, a middle paragraph, details, summary, you learn how to communicate. It helps you think better. Yes, you learn how to think when you're arguing in Gemara, but sometimes it lands up with a big jumble in their head because they never really, when they're finished learning the sugya, they never really sit down and write, okay, what was the Havamina? What did we think originally? What was the discussion about? The conclusion.
Right.
And this is never written. They never learn writing skills. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what they're writing. They don't have to be writing about George Washington or about Chicago, the city of Chicago. They could be writing about Gemara. But they need to write. They need to put their thoughts in writing.
One of my problems with that is the thinking, like I said earlier, that if you try and teach them a certain secular type of learning, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that's goyish. And I don't need it.
Right, so you don't have to, when it comes to writing, it doesn't...
But
they need to be able to write.
Absolutely, but there's somewhere along the line, in the Haredi community, if anything is outside of learning Torah, it's goyish.
You know what? A lot of that is vocal by certain one or two or three kids that really don't have a very broad perspective on life. And they're just very vocal about something else. But that doesn't, you can't really, it's really unfair to say, this is what we, or this is what the kids are like. It's what certain vocal kids are like.
I don't think it's stemming from the students. I think it's coming from a higher power.
I wonder.
I think this is instilled.
I wonder how many it's instilled with.
And I'm afraid...
But what's goyish? What do you mean? When you talk about history, yeah, history is goyish. It's goyish history. When you talk about science, science is goyish people doing most of the stuff. Mm-hmm. They better understand how the world is going on because, as you know, it's been said, you know, if you appreciate what's involved, then you say, Mor Abu Masach HaShem. Why is it? Again, you have the problem that people think it's all voodoo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just all magic. How the scientists are able to make, how medicine works, it's all magic.
If it's, well, if we didn't learn it in the Torah, then it doesn't exist, and ergo, it's we can't learn that stuff. Well, if they learned further on, they would find out that it all comes from the Torah. There's a balance. There's a missing link here. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because at a young child's age or a teenager's age, they haven't gotten to that point of where we have linked Torah with modern day learning. Let's not call it secular. Let's call it modern
day
learning.
But that's really something that in high school, that's really not something for elementary school. That's my opinion.
But where are they going to get tuned to the fact that there's more out there? That there is a link between in Torah and the real world out there to jump over? Because you just can't make a jump.
Well, you know, and that's part of the problem is because the same teachers that learn secular studies, the books that they're using, are really not built for that. So I guess in an ideal world, our books that we have, math and science and history and English composition, would be written very different if the goal, you see, you're saying a whole new outlook to have the kids be able to see this is also part of Torah.
And that's why, you know, one of the things, I have one great story that I'd love to tell you.
Sure.
There was a young man who became the head of, I think it was pediatrics, of a very big college, a very big hospital in New York.
Okay.
And he was a firm guy.
Okay.
And when he was asked, you know, you went to school with these, the same guys went to the same schools, wound up taking the same studies, studied under the same doctors, what made you so much better than them that they chose you to be the head of the department? Do you know what he said it was? Learning Torah. Helped him to be able to take everything and put it into thinking. He was able to think outside of the box, he was able to look on both sides. He was able to look at the scientific as he learned how to, as you were talking about, being able to take something and mold it and turn it around and look at it from every different side. And it made him that much more a scholar that they needed to do the position that he was needed for. And I think that there is a balance. And I think we're missing it.
Well, I don't know. I'm confused what you're saying. It seems to me that on the hand, there's the... Right now, the way it almost seems, it's like in the afternoon, they learn Geish. Yeah?
Absolutely.
It's there's a total schism between the two, never the twain. So the trick is to try... this. From what I understand from you, in an ideal world, there would be more of a mish... a mish, meaning like a mixture, yeah. Of that when they're in the afternoon, they also, in other words, let me give you an example, see if I understand what you're talking about. Let's say they're learning about the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. How did the Industrial Revolution affect their ability of keeping Shabbos in America? For a Jew keeping in Shabbos, they wanted to keep those factories going 24/7, mm-hmm. which made it very difficult to keep Shabbos.
Right. Exactly. But this is...
And also, they were paying these people very little, so they also thought they had to be Mechal Shabbos to keep it. So there you have almost like an example that there's some certain historians that talk about how do historic events affect the lives of the regular Joe on the street, which is a different way of looking at history. Mm-hmm. How did Columbus discovering Eastern Europe?
Exactly, and also
it did,
and not only that, the log every page of the Hebrew writing on the top has the
Yath
Ishmael.
So there's a special training that's going to be needed for something like that.
Absolutely.
So that's in history. In science, it should be nature this and nature that. It should be appreciating Marabu Masecha Hashem. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the wonderful world Hashem created.
Exactly.
Reishis Hashem. And that there's no vestigial organs, mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When they write about and when they write essays, their essays or the books that they're reading should be books that help them improve their Yiras Shamayim. And what they're writing about, since the goal of writing really is to get them to organize their thoughts, they could be writing about Torah topics.
Exactly. And you know how many things, if put in the right perspectives, how many things are not Torah topics? There's a big, broad branch.
It has to, right. It depends if you can teach it that way. And finally, math. The one thing I think we sort of disagree about is to take math, the way math is built, it's built on, you know, you're taking one topic, you take one level of math, and then you bring it to the next level of math, and math builds itself much more than any other subject. Mm-hmm. And there might be examples of that in Gemara, but it would be very hard to create a math book using Gemara examples, mm-hmm. I would think. But I guess there should be an attempt every once in a while.
Well, because I think everything can be taken and given an example of Hashem's hand in it. Whether it be blatant, whether it's a page for page out of a book from Torah. But there, like I said, that I don't know that I have seen it. It was shown to me. Books on calculus, books on especially geometry, that are Torah books. They are written by Jewish scholars.
Right.
Scholars. And so, but there's you have to show a link between A to Z and keeping within a perspective. So every bit of learning that they're doing, like you said, it's got to be built on. But knowing that every once in a while, pull in how this was Jewish. How this was, you know, that we have, it's not, you're not going into a different world because you're a scholar. I think we have to be proud of our heritage.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate you coming, and
thank you for having me.
We'll hopefully get this show up on the site soon at, where are we located? At gewaldigguy.podomatic.com, and I'll send you a copy, and you can put it up on
the
Jewish Wake Up Call. Podomatic.com. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Originate a language, a new way to talk and speak, is a most imposing challenge, a monumental feat. It takes a special talent, is not for the faint of heart, and most are doomed to failure before they even start. But in the hallowed halls of yeshivos far and wide, our young men have discovered a new way to verbalize. With Yiddish, English, Hebrew, it's a mixture of all three, and a dash of Aramaic, a linguistic potpourri that's called
hacking.
Manafshach.
It's not too close.
That's Goinus.
What an Einfall.
I can hear it.
Veltzatvot.
It's a Shiloh.
What's the Raya?
The whole sugya is Goshver.
The Pa'ula may be here,
but the Chalois is over there.
Welcome to our new segment, Yeshivish Raid, where we will give you a Yeshivish word of the day. To start off on this new segment, I have for you the Gettysburg Address, recorded both in the way it was spoken originally and also in Yeshivish. Here it is, the original Gettysburg Address.
87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged on a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are now on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. It is rather for us, the living, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
And now, the Gettysburg Address in Yeshivish. Be'erech, a yovel and a half ago, the miastim shteldevek on this makom, anaya malchus, with the kavana that no one should have bailus over their chaver, and on this yisoid, that everyone has a zobus chosim. We're holding by a gefeluch machlekes, being machria, if this medina or an andra medina, made in the same oifen, with the same achshavas, can have a kiyum. We are all mitzarif on a dalad amis, where a chalois of that machlekes happened, in order to be mechab the soldiers who ding zich with each other. We are here to be kaiveya chach a chelik of that karka, as a kever, the covetous soldiers who are mois nefesh and were nifter to give a chias to our nation. Yashrus is mechayvus to do this. Lemaisa, hagam the welt won't be goris or machshiv when we speak out here. It's zicher not shaykh for them to forget what they toot off here. We are mechayiv to be meshabed ourselves to the malacha in which these soldiers made a haschala. That we balt, they were meiser nefesh for the asik, we must be mamish turret in it.
that we are all mekabel on ourselves to be maisif on the pu'ula, so that their maisim should not be a brach levatola. That Hashem should give the ganz ha'olam a naya bren for cheres. That a nation that shtams by the olam, by the olam, by the olam, will blidefest an olam. This concludes the fourth episode of the Gevaldikai Show. Thank you for listening. I'd also like to thank Yaakov Siegel, who encouraged me to put up another episode, and LR82, who left comments on our webpage, gevaldikai.podomatic.com, who is asking, when is the next episode going to come up? Thank you, Rabbi Joe, for your comments. I'd like to thank Podomatic for hosting this show, and thank you, A Web For You, for sponsoring the show. Our address on the web is gevaldikai.podomatic.com. Vote for us on Podcast Pickle. Email us at gevaldikai@podomatic.com. And please call if you have anything that we feel that we should discuss or you have any comments. Our comment line is 206-666-4897. Put that on your cell phone so while you're listening in the car, you can call. That's 206-666-4897. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please tell your friends about the Gevaldikai Show. And looking forward to having you at our next episode. This is Yisrael Eichmann for the Gevaldikai. Have a wonderful day.